From Brooklyn, New York, this is Jarring Segue, an in-depth look at issues sent in by you, our listeners, and woven together in a jarring way. This week's theme is trivia.
To days of inspiration, playing hooky, making something out of nothing. The need to express, to communicate, to going against the grain, going insane, going mad. To love intention, no pension, to more than one dimension. To starving for attention, hating convention, hating pretension. Not to mention, of course, hating dear old mom and dad.
Beth Hicks, and I am joined today, as now always, since she is a permanent member of our rotation, by...
Well, I feel like Amy should go first.
No, because I screwed up. No, because I screwed up the order, because our order is...
Yeah, I know I come before Amy, but I just feel like I don't want to identify with that pronoun. So if Amy could go first, I would appreciate it.
Do you know how I'm staying silent on this issue?
I will allow this change in the way we do things this one time because I messed up with the pronoun.
Come to Protown. Everything's done expertly.
Unlike amateur town, we get it done right the first time.
That fuck up town down the road. Y'all don't want to end up there.
So our bit is done. So please,
I'm Amy Walensky, and I'm here.
Yay!
And you are a woman.
I am a woman.
She is.
She.
W-O-M-A-N. What is that song?
W-O-M-A-N.
There you go. That
I'll
was
say
what I was
it again.
For.
Yeah.
Yep. And I am Scott Austin.
That's correct. That is correct. In fact, we've gotten our first answers right in this our trivia podcast. Thank goodness. So, Scott, the keeper of the list, start us off with something
fun. It's true.
Fun.
You know what? Most people actually sent us a piece of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm going to start with our questions today.
I think so, too.
And this one comes from Amy's mom. And she wants to know, she wants us to talk about the changing nature of trivia. What determines if something is trivial versus important information?
It's a great question to start with because
I love
like,
your mom.
I love your mom.
I love my mom.
I love our moms. I love that we started with this question because, you know, the theme is trivia, but first, you know, define it. What does it actually mean?
Your mom's trivia.
Okay, we're going to calm that down.
I'll calm your mom down.
I'm really sorry, Mom. I didn't expect it to go like this.
So I did, even though I knew the definition, I still wanted to look it up just to you know, solidify it once more. And I looked it up, and of course it is exactly what you think it is. That trivia is just inconsequential, unimportant information, facts and figures. It can also be, some dictionaries define it as things that just aren't commonly known. So just facts that aren't commonly known. But the first one, because obviously the term trivial, the adjective, means of little consequence or importance, which I think is funny because so often in games of trivia and in, you know, when we go to pub trivia, they are asking mm-hmm. questions that are actually quite important about history and geography and stuff. So it's an interesting distinction.
And it's funny because this question made me think the opposite direction in that, you know, so many things that I consider trivia are treated as if they are important news these days.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, this is the birth of tabloid newspapers. That's
yes.
where that comes from. And,
yes.
and not even just tabloids anymore, everything. Mm-hmm. You know, the 24-hour news cycle suddenly is taking things that should be considered trivial.
Correct.
And raising them to the level of important
I
news
agree.
Annoys the heck out of me.
I also just hate myself when I read BuzzFeed and realize, like, at the end of the day that that's the only news I've read.
Oh, yeah.
So I've set my browser to have
NPR?
The homepage at NPR, which also looks a lot like the Wall Street Journal.
What?
I know.
Oh my God. I knife know. Through my heart.
You know what? When my trial subscription of the Wall Street Journal runs out, I'll change it to NPR.
I've or had... WNYC even.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah. I do like, I like NPR, and more so than other things, I like NPR as an aggregate of information because I think there are certain websites that I go to for certain kinds of things, but I like
I just mostly try to go to BuzzFeed to find out what kind of
The 14 reasons
prepared
why.
Prepared tilapia I am.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Well, kind of, you know, and this is what I actually value about news sources like public radios of the world, is that they clearly identify the difference between pop culture, which is where all that trivia comes in, and actual news. And so, yes, the two blogs from NPR that I have bookmarked are NPR Monkey See, which is the pop culture one, and The Two-Way, which is their news one.
And what I love about what NPR does is they make a distinction, but they don't make a judgment.
Right.
The idea being that they get someone like Linda Holmes, who is an incredible writer, who's smart and who's interesting, to write for Monkey See. And
she is my hero.
She is
amazing.
My hero.
I love
And she writes thoughtfully.
She will be
critically.
Your hero, baby.
Yeah. Oh, please, let's not bring Enrique Iglesias into this, please. Who had his mole removed? Little piece of trivia. He had that mole removed. But
was it like Jennifer Grey, where once it was gone, like her funky nose, people don't give a shit about him anymore?
I didn't give a shit about him.
I haven't given a shit about him for a long time.
I never gave a shit about him. And I was just so angry when they made, after 9/11, when they decided his horrible, shitty song, Hero, was going to be one of the songs that would become an anthem.
Hey,
I was
listen.
Like, really? Come on now.
Really?
Yes.
Let's not hate on that song.
I hate that song. I hate that song.
On Long Island, it was I Hope You Dance.
No, I mean, I'm not saying
Stop
no to
it.
That.
I hope you did.
Oh, yeah, Leanne Womack.
Yeah, that was the song that was on the radio every 5 minutes.
I think one-hit wonders actually make really good...
Trivia.
Yes. Like, who sang this song?
Yes.
And I enjoy a pub trivia round where they give you a bit of a song and you're like...
My favorite pub trivia, the second round is always an audio round.
I love audio
and
rounds.
And actually, it's super hard because... you'll get 30 seconds of a song that's generally within some sort of a theme, but 30 seconds of a song, and you have to name the artist.
That's hard.
I go to a really pretentious pub trivia, and they give you about 5 seconds of a song, and you have to say what the time signature and key signature are.
I want to go to that trivia.
I made it up, but wouldn't that be a great
audio
round?
No, honestly, like, you get a bunch of music nerds, and that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And
I mean, 3, 4, 5, 4.
I'd like to.
Four.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of music nerds and they would be hardcore about this.
Yeah.
And actually, I feel like my brother had to do some of that for his.
He did.
I had to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Like,
college,
yeah. Yeah, his like master's degree, like that was part of the entrance test or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Since we've gone on to questions about songs, we're talking about songs. What is the best song for trivia? Like, what are songs that really generate a lot of trivia questions?
Well, my immediate instinct was We Didn't Start the Fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Billy Joel. Because everyone likes to talk about, you know, all of the different people he lists and all that kind of stuff. And that's the one that always makes, like, when we're talking trivia, weird trivia stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like American Pie probably, too.
American Pie was the one that came to my mind. Or La Vie Boheme from Rent.
Oh, because, yes.
Like, which of these things is not mentioned? Or name 10 things that are mentioned.
Yeah.
Those songs that have lists in them. List songs.
The BuzzFeeds of songs.
Madonna.
Oh.
Madonna's Vogue. You know?
Really?
Well, come on. She's going through all the, you know, Dietrich and Monroe. I mean, she's going through all these.
I don't know
for those.
Oh, you don't know.
For those of you who can't see our podcast, you are missing some amazing voguing.
It was terrible.
Being
no,
done
it was pretty good.
It was terrible.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
It was awful.
It's like... sofa snuggy voguing.
Yes, except I'm not.
It's not. She's not actually.
I feel like
wearing
it does need to be mentioned
like,
that it is Sunday, and so we're like super comfy right now.
Oh yeah, this is.
We all came
cast.
In like our workout clothes and
it's
like
true.
Hoodies and stuff like that. So
I'm a big fan of Sunday, like curl up with a couple of like curl up on a sofa with some friends and play some board games. And Trivial Pursuit is one of my favorites.
Wow, Trivial Pursuit.
So
can I tell you a great Trivial Pursuit story? This is my
yes.
favorite story. So, you know...
This is your favorite story.
It is my favorite story.
Let's hear it. Is this better than when you cheated at Scrabble?
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Because this is a family lore that we can pass on to others, and you guys are going to start using it, and it's going to be amazing. Again, you know my family was huge on the board games, and so whenever we had a big family get-together, we would play Trivial Pursuit. And we generally do teams, because there were people of all ages, and you wanted to make it fair and that kind of thing. But there's a story in my family about a time in her life where my Aunt Barbara, I believe, was cooking bread on, like, a daily basis. And so there happened to be one time where she was cooking bread while they were playing Trivial Pursuit. So she's coming and going from the other room, yada, yada, yada. And her question comes up, and her question is, what is the leavening agent in bread? While she's making bread. So since that point in our family history... when you get a really easy question that's so obvious that, or that is just completely tailored to you, or something that's just super, super easy, it's called a yeast.
Ah. It's called a yeast.
Yeah.
And then when someone gets a lot in a row, they have a yeast infection.
Oh, let's not say that. That's gross.
I like that.
No, but when we're playing Trivial Pursuit, someone at the family table will start chanting yeast, yeast, if they know it, and it's obvious to them.
There was a bar in Syracuse called Clark's, and Clark's Ale House, and it's since the building was renovated and the bar was shut down and had to move and relocate, and I never really found a new location, but it was the best trivia night, and it was a way I bonded with my brother, and we would go, and he would invite me to, you know, sit on his team, and I usually couldn't contribute all that much, because it was very, we had a comment about straight guy trivia from
Cynthia,
Amy's friend Cynthia, talked about how pub trivia is very male-centric, and this was very, like, straight dude-centric trivia, even though it was run by a woman, she was just a little burly, but there was a round, the final round was always match 10 things, it was always matching, and whoever got in first, like, there was a ranking for speed, and one week it was match the song to the musical.
Oh, lovely.
And there was this asshole guy on my brother's team that week, and I don't know who he was, and he didn't know me very well, but I took the sheet and I just did it and I was done. He's like, I got up to hand it in. He was like, shouldn't we double check those? And I gave him this look that was like, how dare. And we did get 100. And then another time at the same bar, I was winning with three friends, and this was like, how are we winning this?
Yeah.
And the final match round was match the picture of the gun to the name of the gun. And every other team got 100. And we got like 6 right out of 10. And we were called the Syracuse Peace Council. And that was our new team name.
That is a good team name.
Because we lost trivia because none of us can identify a gun.
Nice.
Wow. At Syracuse, I wouldn't have thought that was a hotbed for gun knowledge.
Yeah, and it was like, I think that's a Glock and that one's a Revington.
I could not tell you what a single gun looks like or what the name of it. I mean, like, I know what a gun looks like, but, you know, name of a gun.
I have a student who did a project, and a gun they decided was a symbol, and they put it on the board. But it looks like a penis, and I giggle whenever I look at the student's, like,
did they draw thing? It, or is it, like, a picture?
Yeah, they drew it. Yeah.
Well,
they
that's not surprising, since, like, in so many stories, the gun is the metaphor for the penis. It's that great George Carlin bit about how in Westerns just replace the word kill with fuck.
I'm gonna fuck you. I'm gonna fuck you hard at noon.
Because it's just, you know, that whole masculine energy. It's hilarious. Right. It's hilarious.
My sheltered life.
We did get some song trivia from two of our contributors this week. Elizabeth has told us that Daryl Hall met John Oates on an elevator in Philadelphia.
I like that.
Hall and Oates.
Great piece of trivia.
Also,
I really wish they were best known for Love on an Elevator.
Is that a song?
It's a song.
It's a Pink. It's a
Pink sings it.
Not Pink.
No. Pink.
Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. Thank you.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah.
Also Pink.
It's one of their songs.
They contributed with Pink. And Pink Floyd.
No, did you see
and
where?
Pink Panther.
Did you see where I went there though?
It's a good mashup.
That Aerosmith has a song called Pink.
Can we go back to Hall & Oates and how amazing they are and how underrated they are and how people make fun of me all the time? And I'm like, all I want to hear right now is this one Hall & Oates song.
I think that's because you're 30, not because they're underrated.
Meaning I'm too young for that, or I'm too old for that?
You're too young.
Both, actually. You're allowed to go through.
No, okay, but Scott, we were in that bar that one night.
We sure were.
And that great song came on. I can't think of it now.
It's a little piece of trivia that's escaping you.
No, it's the I'll do anything. What is the name of that song?
That can't go for that.
There you go. That's what it is. And that came on, and it honestly made my night.
Our other piece of
you can movie. Actually replace my singing by the actual song. That would be great.
Okay.
She's not gonna.
No, I'm not. I'm a mean producer.
Anne has told us that James Cameron originally did not want a theme song for Titanic, and Horner and Dion recorded it in secret. and then played it for James Cameron after the fact. And
but that...
They were like, oh.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
you
like
can't
this.
Have an epic without a song, right?
It's true.
Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I that's the thing is...
Chariots of Fire that you...
No, but that's...
Maybe he just didn't want a song with words.
Yeah, because there's a difference between a score, that gorgeous score of, like, Chariots of Fire, or, like, English Patient.
The Titanic score is pretty without
Titanic,
that song.
Titanic score is beautiful, too, but he didn't want, like, a theme song. He didn't want Celine Dion doing My Heart
Will
Go On.
I don't think of My Heart Will Go On as a theme from Titanic. I think of that as like a song, but I thought you were talking about like.
Oh
the,
no! See, I
like
that to me is. The
I even remember when it was played on the radio sometimes with movie like quotes
from
in
quotes,
it.
From quotes, yes.
Like, Jack, oh, like, I'm gonna
yeah,
drown.
Yeah, but like
that's not a quote.
From I guess I think of that as like the hit song from time out of time. But like maybe it's because I'm a crazy musician that like a theme from whatever is different. Than.
Yeah. No. Like the same thing with Streets of Philadelphia, the Bruce Springsteen. The theme song from Philadelphia, and they did the same exact thing. They would have beautiful, like they would have clips from the movie, like they'd play it on the radio, and there would be sound bites.
Yeah,
from
which
the
is
movie
huge production for the movies.
I just
yeah.
saw The Muppets Most Wanted last night.
Did you like it?
And without giving too much of a spoiler alert, the best cameo in the movie I thought was Celine. Celine Dion makes a cameo.
Nice. I do want to see that, but I don't know anything about it.
I don't because I hate Ricky Gervais, but that's a little piece of truth
I
about
love
me.
The Muppets enough. That I was fine with him.
That's fair. That's
it's,
totally
but
fair.
But it's Tina Fey too, right?
Oh, Tina Fey yeah. is great.
Oh,
man.
I love her.
Yeah. I hate him.
I thought, you know, you worry about it. And the first song is about how awful sequels are. It's like, oh, well done.
Right,
well done. Okay. Now, Caitlin, actually, to go back to Trivial Pursuit, she had asked us about Trivial Pursuit. What categories or what special types of Trivial Pursuits, like, you know, how they have Simpsons Trivial Pursuit or mm-hmm. whatever, where do you think your strength in Trivial Pursuit is?
Pink. 90s.
I'm pink.
Oh yeah, well,
back
I
to
mean,
pink. Back to pink.
Questions pink. About pink.
The yes. pink category is always the easiest one, right?
The entertainment.
Can we just yeah?
Is
well,
it
does.
I always
it's
do well in literature.
Of actually, course you do. You're an English teacher.
Yeah,
yeah. And I do.
An English teacher.
And I.
That's never. No one's ever sung that at me.
Yeah. No, never.
I do well in purple as well. The art. I love
purple.
The arts and literature. It's arts and literature. It's purple. I'm going by like the colors.
Is it purple? It's blue.
I have
no blue is geography.
I have found that
I'm talking old school Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, but
I'm
I don't think there's a purple in there.
Yes, there is.
Get me the Trivial Pursuit game.
I don't
there's,
know.
There is purple.
You don't own
there
Trivial
is
Pursuit.
Blue. Let's
no.
go through. No, wait. Let's. We need to do this. Blue is geography.
I'm about to look this up. Okay.
Blue is geography. Yellow is history. Orange is sports. Green is science. Purple is arts and literature.
Then there's
and
brown.
Pink. Oh,
this
yeah,
brown?
It's brown. It's not purple.
I thought
it's
it was purple.
Not purple.
You're absolutely rude.
I
just
I win.
Hey, I did okay.
Brown.
You thought it was blue for a second. So.
No, well, I know that there's a blue. There is not a purple. Is what
no,
I'm
you're
saying.
Right. You're right. I take it back. I think it's because the brown looked like purple. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm fishing.
I'm fishing.
For some reason, whenever I picture Trivial Pursuit and the colors there, I also associate them. The pie wedges with Necco wafers.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But
I
see
don't know
that.
Why. I feel like there's a lot of trivia around Necco wafers.
I'm sure there is.
Do you
I don't
have
know
a question
any.
About that?
No.
Don't they look medicinal to you? Like they almost
it's,
look like
it's
that, the
that
original
like powdery,
factory.
Yeah, the powdery thing.
It looks like you put
it
on your tongue and it's meant to be
there's
like medicinal.
A,
also,
there's a really great lozenge called throat discs that
I'm sorry, what?
Throat discs and they look like the brown Necco wafers. And they are
I
what,
can see that.
When I'm performing and I need to use my yeah. voice, I will use throat discs.
Interesting. I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
But in addition to the pink category, which is always the easiest one, I have the 90s edition of Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah.
Which is by far the best thing I've ever played. And I am a purist and I do love the old school, like, original Genius edition.
Yeah, my parents had
Trivial
a Genius
Pursuit.
Edition that I would play as a kid, and it just... succeeded in making me feel stupid.
It's so hard. The original is so hard.
Yeah, but when you played it enough as a kid, you would learn the answers to some of the questions. And so I can tell you, in the Genius edition, anything that talks about something being... some sort of media being like trash, they're always talking about television. Because this was a time when television was just kind of on the upswing and people were watching more and more of it.
Yeah.
And people were coming up with studies saying how it rots your brain and all this stuff. So by default, if they're talking about anything being garbage...
And
it's about television.
Did you ever notice that in Trivial Pursuit, there would be, you'd if you played it enough, you'd be like, man, people who created this round of questions were really obsessed with Nixon. Like, every other fucking question is either about Nixon or about, like, his presidency or about his impeachment or about his what. Like, you would feel, like, different categories with the same person. And
isn't Trivial Pursuit Canadian?
Is it?
I believe it was invented by Canadians.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something I learned on Good Job Brain.
My friend... If you are this far into the podcast and you're like, they're not asking me questions. A, it's coming up. Random trivia bits that people have sent us. And B, Good Job Brain. Let's just give out
a shout little out bit of to shout Good out Job Brain
to that podcast.
Best podcast. And really, Scott, you were the one that introduced me to
it's
it.
It's great. So, I listen to it weekly. But my friend Molly collects old board games, and she has this old version of, like, Family Feud. And it's so hard because it's like, the most famous Elizabeth. But you're like, this is from the 60s. So who is the most famous?
Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Taylor.
And some of them are like, yeah, we all guessed Elizabeth Taylor. Yep. But some of them are like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And it's really, it's fun to get those, like, dating games and what, you know, going back to what your mom said, what used to be, like, kind of fun trivia and is now just forgotten.
Yes, completely.
Exactly.
What are some really good mashup categories? You know, the trivia mashup, like 50 Shades of Macy Gray, and you describe, like, you walk away and I choke, and then I choke you, and then I put you in handcuffs.
I
and
think
then
he's
you.
Describing something I've
I'm,
never
I'm describing 50 Shades of Macy Gray.
So, meaning, like what are the questions that provide the
like
answer?
Like, what are good things to mash up? What are good mashups? Mashups, or...
I mean, if we're talking about... I think I might not be quite answering your question, but things where they, like, it's a trivia round about food and movies, so it's like when they put up clips from movies and you need to know what they're eating in the next thing because they're mashing up two things.
No, it's more like you replace a word, it's wordplay.
Like, see, I don't think of that as
like,
trivia.
You, like, it can be like a trivia question. What would be this book and this pop star, put them together somehow, and the answer is those two things. Like, who... Kesha in the Rye.
Oh, like almost like the Jeopardy question.
Yeah.
Like the, where you take two things
and
you have to
before and after on Wheel of Fortune.
And you have to know both of those things. You have to know the trivia of both of those things. Yeah.
Do we have thoughts or feelings on
mashups?
I
don't know that I have thoughts or feelings
on
that.
Well, so what I was going to say is it makes me think about the trivia that I love, which is Trivia NYC. And this guy Tony that I'm friends with that does trivia at a bunch of different places. I was introduced to it at Dempsey's Pub over in the East Village. And he does his last round. I love what he does because it's the same five rounds every single time.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think that's a really great structure to know, like, if you wanted to study for this, you could, but you don't have to, and you'll still have a good time. But the last round is always really hard, and it's it's sets of three. So he gives you three anything, names three things, and you have to say what those three things have in common.
Yeah.
And it's never the obvious thing. It's like something really obscure, and you have, like, and it can't be general. It can't be like, oh, that's three dudes' names, you know, but you've got to figure out what those three things really have. And it's amazing. And, like, so it's not really mashups,
I like those creative categories.
Yeah.
That...
Yeah. And I love it, and it always is, like, crazy hard, and we're always, like, anticipating it and nervous about it, and it's just, you know, I think those kind of things are really fun.
It's like a massage for your brain, because you have to work your brain in a different way. You have to not come at something from a linear, you can't just straight line it. You have to be able to come from at something, you know, from totally different angles. It's the same way of a mashup is, you can't just think of this, you have to think of this and then put them together. And so, you know, it's,
I know,
like that kind of stuff.
I know Tony didn't get back to us, but your friend Joshua also runs a trivia night, and he wants to know, what do you do about the assholes who are cheating in pub trivia?
I'm really guilty about this, because I'm sure you can guess I cheat sometimes.
Amy, no. I just do not take my pub trivia that seriously.
Right, and that's my thing, is that, like,
because there's always, like, that serious team who's like, thug it, or, like, they get mad when you're beating them, and you're like,
no,
it's just
not
fun.
Necessary. Yeah. But I think the best trivia nights are ones where, you know, like, they're aware when people are cheating, but they're not, like, going to be assholes about it.
Yeah, my cousin Danielle, she also hosts a trivia night, and she said, host to players, A, listen to the fucking rules.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
B, stop shouting out answers. No one thinks you're funny.
Mm-hmm.
You're just drunk. Like,
yeah.
A, don't shout out right or wrong answers.
Yep.
But especially, like, the wrong answers, like, we know you're not giving away the answer, but you're not funny.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to play. The host is there to keep the night moving.
Absolutely.
Let them do their job.
Exactly.
So, there's a little pub trivia etiquette.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is the heart. I used to go to trivia in Providence at Trinity Brew House, and I really liked their trivia.
TBH.
Yeah. Did I take you there?
I just made it an acronym and
yeah,
figured
I
people
I'd
call
you there.
It
I
that.
I think you would have liked it. But one of the things that was great about that was that you it would be very difficult to cheat because of the openness of the room. Like, you're going to see people, and it was low light. It's a bar. So it's got, you know, semi-low lighting, not so low. You know, you can still see, and it's, you know, it's not like you're struggling to read stuff on the sheets if you've got, you know, whatever kind of round. But it would be pretty obvious if you were cheating. And one of the biggest things, I think, what surprised me, so I went to Pub Trivia Videology this past Tuesday, and Beth and I were in the far room, and so we kind of were engaged in it, but not really. Like, we were both wanted to play and do well, but we both knew we also weren't going to win, because there are a couple teams there that win every time. And so for a few questions, I looked things up before the round was over, literally because I just needed to know. I was like, this is hurting my brain. I have to know, because it's actually making me unhappy that I don't know this, and we're not going to win, and we're not really, like, actively trying to win. But one of the big things, too, is that, like, she gave us so much time. After the round, like, the round would be in and you had 6 minutes to turn in the sheet. I'm like, no. Part of the way you prevent cheating is you keep it going so that it makes it hard for people to look stuff up, because then they might miss other questions. And then you have to turn it in.
Yeah, and I think that's good. And I think establishing a, like, listen, we're not going to make a huge deal about this, but you're going to be ineligible to win things if we catch cheating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's
and
also,
like,
I think that's
fine. The host can go up to you and be like, keep playing.
But
I'm taking some points after school.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna make sure you're always in fourth.
Yeah, right. Keep playing, but you're not winning the prize tonight. Exactly. Yeah.
And when I was playing trivia in Alaska this summer, I went to visit my friend Nick, and we played, and the team ended up getting too big for the rules of that bar. So we split into two teams, and I was with Nick and just some other peripheral friends of his, and they were really, this guy and his mom were Mormon, and they didn't drink. And the winner got shots, and we won.
Yeah.
Our team won. The last question was about,
about Mormons.
It was about Mormons. No, it was about a mountain in New Hampshire that at the end of the summer I was going to climb. Like, and I've climbed it before. And it was like, this is the most popularly climbed mountain. You know, it's blah, blah, blah. It's in what state? And I was like, New Hampshire.
Done.
Because in Alaska, people don't know the difference between the New England states. So
a lot of people in New England don't know the difference between New England states.
So I was like, I don't know which one's Vermont and which one's New Hampshire. I do know that. But
you got shots.
Anyway, so we got shots as prizes. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, like, the Mormons on our team were like, well, we think it should come off our food bill. And we were like, no, you win shots.
It's a prize.
Like, yeah, like, you know what
also,
you win.
Also, yeah, like,
also not a big deal.
Yes, you did answer all of those questions about the Terminator in that one round, but
it's a perfect, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I do enjoy the, like, money off your tab or whatever, but it's supposed to be fun. It's not about the prizes.
And they don't
have
to do this. Like, this is something they do for fun to get people into the bar, of course, and to increase their foot traffic, but
Sam has asked us, what is your least favorite type of trivia? And while I'm sorry to cut you off there, Beth, but that's my answer. Trivia that people take too seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's actually a really good answer. I mean, mine is more specific, and it's sports. I mean, you give me a sports trivia night, and it's not that I'm going to be miserable. I know a little bit and I might be able to help a little bit, but I can't invest in it because sports are just not something I care about.
That's why I like when it's like sports and leisure.
Yes. Yeah. You're like, yeah, leisure, like, I got that one.
Thank God there's a question about the smoking jacket.
An ascot? Yes, I do know about that.
Yeah.
How to tie a bow tie. That would be a great trivia question. They just like give you one.
Here's a bow tie. Have it.
Done. First team with a tie wins.
I love all trivia. I don't think I have a least favorite kind.
I love learning.
I love games. I love trivia.
I'm a teacher. I don't care.
I mean, I love everything. Mm-hmm. But what I don't enjoy is when I do feel like I'm really, like, just terrible at it. And when I feel like I have a team of people that just, like, gets pissed off really easily.
Yeah.
And again, taking it too seriously, but, like,
yeah.
I love the balanced team where you feel like you're all complimenting each other with the knowledge that you have and,
I will say that taking it too seriously sucks, but I also, my also big pet peeve is, and my brain is not working, is trivia people, the trivia leader who make, not leader, but the host who makes it so hard that you literally are like, I can't do this.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to feel dumb.
So hard that I don't have any chance in getting anything right. And like, I don't need to know everything. I love learn. Like, I love going, oh, I didn't know that. That's a cool thing to learn. But if I'm sitting there going, this is making me feel dumb, and, like, I don't know anything, then that hurts. Like, it just feels pointless. I'm like, I come to have fun and to test my knowledge.
Can we go back to the cheating question for a second?
Yeah.
I have two questions or points, or I want to get your input. One is it cheating to text a friend?
Yes.
Because sometimes I, like, for instance, my friend Chad was on the way to Trivia Night one night, and he knows everything about The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And there was a question about The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and I'm like, he's going to be here in 5 minutes.
Well, he's not there now.
But I texted him and was like, oh my God, you have to get here. And he did actually show up on time, but I think that's totally legit.
Get here before I have to turn this in.
Yeah.
Fine. But Chad, what's the answer?
That's totally different.
Oh, no. I did text him and say, this is the question. We're going to need you to help out and answer this one.
But he still got there in time.
I would have taken his answer even if he hadn't showed up on time.
I mean, I do feel like...
if I know, like this obscure piece of sports knowledge, I have a friend who's going to know that.
Sometimes
I'll text them.
I call bullshit.
Right, yeah. But, like, again, I'm not in it to win it so much as I am to just, like, I really want to know the answer to that.
But, I mean, that's the thing that's really interesting because that's exactly what Beth and I asked. Like, why did we pull our phones out when we were going to get the answer in five minutes?
Oh, I can't wait.
And, like, that's exactly how I felt. I was like, but the only thing
isn't
is that I
didn't... sad that cell phones have turned us into those types of people?
But the thing is, there were lots of things that I could wait on. Plenty of answers that
I
didn't care about.
Yeah, but there's just a couple that...
But there was one in particular. It was a Neil LaBute. It was an Aaron Eckhart movie. This movie, blah, blah, blah. He's a bad guy that they show it. And I'm like, I was like, I know what it's about. It's Neil LaBute. It's these two guys and they're businessmen and they make a woman fall in love with them and she's deaf and they're horrible and whatever.
What movie is this?
It's In the Company of Men. And I could not, and I read about it. I haven't even seen it, but I just knew it. And that one I had to look up because I couldn't wait. It hurt my soul that I couldn't recall this information. I was mad at myself.
That, I think, might be taking trivia a little too seriously.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, wait, wait. Can I do my other question real
quick? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
yes,
so that's
okay. Yeah.
So the other question I have is about team sizes.
Okay.
Now, here's my issue.
I've always thought that it's not the size that matters, it's how you use it.
Hey.
Like, you need to assemble a team where someone does know something about
sports.
The girth of the team.
All right, guys.
I think also the team's stamina. If you can't make it rounds.
I like a team that curves a little left.
Stop. Guys, I have a legit question here.
Okay. Sorry.
Team size.
Yes, continue.
So, here's my issue. You have, your team limit is like 6 people. So.
Usually, yep.
A 7th person shows up.
You're over.
Well, that's what happened in Alaska. We had to split into 2 teams.
Right, so now does that new team not get any of the points that the rest of, like how do you do this?
Because the trivia's already started.
The trivia's like 3 rounds into a 5-round trivia, and a 7th person shows up. Are you now saying this entire team can't play? Are you saying they have to split up?
No,
like, how do you do
that? They can play. The rule was at Trinity was you can play with as big a team as you want, but if you're more than 6 people, you can't win a prize. So the idea was you could play, with a seven person could come in, you could do really well. You could even actually take first place, but you're just not going to get the prize that night because you're over the limit.
I also just think, like, the prize gets diluted.
Right. Like,
when like, you... So who cares how big your team is?
Right.
I'm all for a 12-person team.
Yeah. Hey. I like four people. My PSM likes three or five just because there's a tiebreaker. There's someone to, like, if two people feel strongly this way, you have that tiebreaker.
I just find it frustrating when suddenly, like, you have to have two teams of in, like, one group of friends and, like, are you really not supposed to talk to each other, really? I mean, come on now. You're all at the same table, so it gets weird. I think there's an extent to which you have to say, okay, your table of 12, that's probably a... Yeah.
Why not? Could y'all be... I think it's the host's job to just, like, look around and be like, this team's massive. Would you guys mind splitting into two teams?
I mean,
the thing, like, you're a table of 12, be two teams of 6. Is that okay? No? All right, fine. Play as all 12.
And maybe I'm just...
And, you know, I'm not going to let you win.
Yeah. Right. I'm just used to Trinity, because at Trinity... People got there super early because it was, there's a limited number of tables, and it was one of the few, like, in New York, there's so many trivia, like, right. So much pub trivia.
I think
there's so many pubs.
I think it's also, like, in Syracuse, there used to be Clark's, and now there's a million places. Yeah.
It's gotten so a lot more popular recently.
Pub trivia is, like...
Well, because I think a lot of places realize it's a fairly easy, low-key way to get people in seats for 2 hours drinking pretty, like, most people don't get super drunk. They don't get ridiculous or stupid because they're playing. But they'll, you know, they'll keep drinking
and
if they're going.
And it's usually on a Tuesday.
Exactly. Exactly.
As if that should stop you from drinking.
And if you have, you know, trivia knowledge, you probably have a job. I'm just going to say that. No, that's not true. Because trivia is often about...
Yeah, and if you don't have a job, you have plenty of time to be on Wikipedia. So.
It's true.
But no, it's I think... I think that for, like, I was just so used to, like, with Trinity, like, people would show up, trivia would start at 8, people would start getting there around 7, like, we would always try to get there for 7:30 so we could get a table, and, like, everybody would get settled, and once it started, you should start at, like, 5-10 minutes late, and then it was, basically, that room felt kind of locked down. Like, obviously, people could leave, you know, but, like, nobody would come in once it started, because the idea was, like, the team that you have... is the team that you have, especially if you have 6, because you've hit that limit. Whole idea is you've hit the limit anyway.
Well, but the issue here in New York is that we all get out of work at different times.
Right.
And if trivia starts at 7, some of us can't make it there at 7. And so, you know, you get 5 people that get there right on time and they can hold the table. But we don't want to say, oh, no, I'm sorry, you can't hang out with us tonight because you can't make it there at 7 exactly. So we have friends that'll come and go throughout the night. And our team size will change and will fluctuate a little. Yeah. And, you know... As soon as that 7th person sits down, if somebody comes up to us and like, okay, your team's too big now, we're like, okay, but that person's about to leave.
Yeah.
Like, simmer down, hang out for a second. Or, you know, like, oh, that person's not actually going to weigh in on it. They're like, no, you have to, you know.
I think it depends on where you go. I mean, like, it's like you said, that some places are like, they are...
Hardcore.
I mean, you can't even have a friend come late because the idea is things are locked down,
ugh,
whatever. And other places are more relaxed. And I think that there's a, you know... There's a lid for every pot. There's a pub trivia for every kind of person. Like, if you want to go for relaxed fun and it's not as big of a deal. And if you want, there are some that you go to and people are scary. I mean, they will, they're frightening. And I'm like, that's the kind of thing I would never, I want something in between. Like, I want it where it matters, but not where someone's going to cut me if they see my phone in my hand because I just got a text from my parents.
Now, I really like that a lot of people have sent in just random comments and pieces of trivia.
And
so I'm gonna go through some of these and I'm just gonna kind of go straight through and it'll be jarring in nature. Mm-hmm. There will be no segues.
That's
but
right.
I welcome commentary from Beth and Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie has told us that in Fantasia, in The Sorcerer's Apprentice, the sorcerer's name is Yensid.
Good to know.
Where did that come from?
It's Disney spelled backwards.
Oh,
which
I should have realized that.
I didn't realize until I was writing it out.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Yensid.
There you
That's
go.
Awesome.
Disney.
That makes sense.
Sonny has told us that the mask in the movie Halloween is a painted mask of William Shatner's face.
Mm-hmm. I did know that.
Then she asked us, and I don't know, what part of the pig does bacon come from?
I thought, like most pork products, it was a mix of stuff? Or is it like
actually? No. You can see like.
Oh wait, no. I'm thinking of hot dogs.
I don't know.
A hot dog.
My brother is a pig farmer. If I was allowed to take out, actually.
Yeah. We'll get back to you.
Yeah. Is it okay if I text my brother?
You can phone a friend, but if I catch you on Wikipedia, I'm gonna get pissed.
I'm going to text.
She also asked us what kind of donut is a Berliner, which is jelly donut.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like a jelly-filled local thing.
I'm kind of Berliner.
No. Derek has told us that humans are not born with patellas or kneecaps.
True.
But rather that they come in a little bit later.
Yep, it's why babies are so damn fragile, is because they're kind of unformed still.
It's why baby Tanya Harding and baby Nancy Kerrigan
actually got along fine.
They got along just fine. Because they just bounced right back. I'm imagining like Olympian babies, but it's done in the style of Muppet Babies.
Yep.
And totally. It's like just all these Olympians hanging out and
doing their thing.
Kicking the shit out of each other as babies because they can bounce back.
Nice.
One of my former students, Colin, texted in that there is a bacterial species, Theomargarita nabi. He's really
salt on the rim. Salt on the rim or no salt on the rim?
Salty bacteria.
Okay.
That has become big enough to be seen by the naked eye.
That's scary. Gross.
We were also told that Cookie Monster was originally named Sid.
Aww.
I like that name for him. You know what?
Elmo used to be evil. I mean, like.
Well, or not he evil, still but kind of is.
Well, okay.
Well, he's just obnoxious. A different Stephanie told us that wedding dresses were traditionally blue until Queen Victoria just wanted one in her favorite lace color. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I feel like I learned that on Good Job Brain, actually.
And Stephanie owns a dress shop, a wedding dress shop. And
I love the fact that so many people think of the Victorian era, that Queen Victoria is a, I don't even want to say stuffy, but you know, there's certain aspect of upper crust, whatever, but she was actually, I mean, it was such a stylistic shift. I mean, she was so, her style and her choices made such an impression, which is why you have the Victorian era. It's why you have such beautiful changes in clothing.
I can't wait for the Kate Middleton era.
Oh, God.
To be stunning. Homegirl can dress. Yeah, say what you will about
gorgeous.
Her.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she is.
But I think the issue with the fact that it wasn't white before that was because of that white was just so hard to keep clean.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that, you know, but so
most
the
weddings were done in mud pits.
With pits.
Mud wrestling.
Yeah, obviously.
I want a mud wrestling wedding.
But actually, I believe that she also would take her wedding dress out and wear it every year on her wedding anniversary.
I could see that. She was so in love with her husband.
Oh my gosh.
She was so in love with her husband. That was very sad.
Jess Bain has told us that the flag on the moon, the American flag on the moon, has been bleached white by now because of solar radiation.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Which is cool. I like that.
Yeah.
It should technically be burned then, because of course once the flag has been in any way altered or it should be burned.
There was this girl who was homeschooled on my street growing up, and she knew not a lick of literature or math, but she knew so much flag etiquette. And she could fold a flag. And I remember one day she was lecturing me and my friend Callie about the flag and what we need to do with the flag and the flag etiquette and when to burn a flag and when is not to burn a flag and how to burn a flag and blah, blah, blah.
How to fold a flag.
She knew so much goddamn stuff about flag trivia, and we were like, yeah, but what do you know that's useful?
Homeschool.
What book have you read that doesn't just end with, and Jesus loves you?
Oh.
Like, we got, like, because she was acting all smug and better than us, and like, homeschool's better. And we were like, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Okay,
so I kind of feel like a duck.
Bacon comes from.
I can't believe I said parts of the pig. It's like, Beth, what is wrong with you? I need to.
Well, I wonder that often.
Hey, watch it. So it actually makes sense. It comes from the pork, it comes from the belly. And so we have pork belly and we have bacon, but just pork belly has much more fat. The belly, and that depends on what kind, because there's Canadian bacon, we're talking, of course, about American bacon. And it says that it's usually made from the side and the back cuts of pork, except here, where it's prepared from the pork belly. And that's why it's that streaky fat, like that's where that streaky fat comes from. Whereas pork belly has so much more of it, which is why it's, you know, delicious.
Let's stick with some animal trivia. Joe Cambo has told us that all duck reproduction is rape.
And now I pointed out when I heard this that it's because the male duck, the penis is corkscrew. And I can't imagine that's comfortable for anyone.
I assholes. I don't want to have sex with a duck. So no. I understand. No.
But I mean, all of it ever? I mean, like, you would think that
they would stop I never want to have sex with a duck. And I can't think of a single occasion, Amy, where it's okay for me to have sex with a duck.
I agree with you on that one. But you would think that the species would have died out at this point if it was really like an act of aggression for them to have sex.
I wonder about that, though.
Maybe it's more like, you know, when one person's like, I've got a little bit of a headache, and the other person's like, come on. Maybe it's just like a little bit suggested, and then the women are
all
like,
all I can think of is Howard the Duck right now.
I was thinking of Howard the Duck, too.
And I'll never watch it the same way.
I hate that movie.
It's awful.
It's always creepy.
George Lucas has so much to answer. If there is an afterlife, I believe that when he gets to it, St. Peter's going to be like, we need to talk about this movie.
Before I let you into these gates, Andrea told us that male elephants can get this condition called must, spelled weird, where they secrete orange stuff from the sides of their faces. And
that's gross. I think I just vomited in my mouth.
I would like to ask Andrea what kind of orange stuff. I'm imagining tang. elephant sweat tang is what I'm taking.
I think more of like orange marmalade.
Ooh. Mmm. Our elephant orange must is delicious. But
gross.
I think maybe it's the stuff in Oreos when they dye it for Halloween.
Ooh, yeah.
So the orange stuff.
That's where they get it from.
I will never be able to eat orange.
I know.
Halloween Oreos.
You're welcome.
Again.
Thank you. Ooh. I'm going to think about this next October. Thank you, Andrea. And thank you,
Andrea, Beth. I do not thank you. That is gross.
Yeah.
Hallie, who you've heard on a previous podcast about patriotism, told us that Cleopatra lived in time closer to the moon landing than she did to the building of the pyramids.
Mm-hmm. This was a BuzzFeed thing recently.
Yeah, BuzzFeed. Oh, that BuzzFeed video was all over. Because they were talking about like things that'll blow your mind about time.
I read Real News that day, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
He read the Wall Street Journal.
It's fascinating to read the Wall Street Journal for a week at a time. I just dropped the pen and the notebook. It sounded like this. sorry about that. I got excited.
Yeah, you did.
Because it's fascinating to read the news with this lens of like capitalism through it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everything in America has a lens of capitalism. Call me a commie. But like really, this newspaper.
Pope?
I'm the Pope. Really, this, we love talking about the Pope.
I know, it comes like every episode, I swear.
It's true.
No, he's pretty great.
/ Beyonce. Anyway, continue.
The Pope and Beyonce. Mm-hmm. Who runs the world? The Pope and Beyonce.
yep.
But,
where were you going with that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't even remember what the fuck we were talking about.
Me neither.
We were talking about
capitalism.
Oh, capitalism!
It's very interesting. Even when the Olympics were going on and the news articles were all about like ratings for the Olympic, how much money is spent on X, Y, and Z, different events, different countries, different... It was everything has to deal with money in the Wall Street Journal.
Of course,
yeah. It's absolutely.
Well, when my really cheap trial subscription ends, I will not be resubscribing because that's not the world I live in, but... it has been a little fascinating foray into the world of American economics.
Jazz hands. You couldn't see them, but I made them.
Caitlin has told us that she knows a lot about Peyton Place because of her 11th grade teacher. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting to think of what we know.
What is Peyton Place?
I don't even know.
I think it's a book, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's a book. I believe it's a book.
I have no idea what Peyton Place is. But...
My second grade teacher was the one who taught me to make a cupcake sandwich whenever you have a cupcake. Take the bottom half off and put it on top. And
I'm jealous that you learned it that young. Because I didn't learn it until I was in my 20s.
Mrs. Goff. Thank you very much for that one.
Yeah.
And I've passed that knowledge on to as many people as I possibly can.
I didn't learn that until I was in my 20s.
Yeah,
and it's cupcake changing.
Yeah.
It is. It changes your world when it comes to eating cupcakes.
I'm going to... answer this sort of, but I directed a play about the Triangle Factory fire. It was like the second play I ever directed, and it was this beautiful piece, but Recently, it came up in the news again, and just there was an article that a few people posted to my Facebook page, and people just talked about it. And so I like to know that the thing that my students know a lot about, because I directed a play and was passionate about it, was the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire and the mass death of all these women workers, labor relation laws, fire codes, and all the sorts of things.
I like how Caitlin and I were celebrating what we've learned from other people, and Scott was like, wait,
guess
it's
what
about
I've
me.
Taught people. I know a lot because of Madame Guillet, my French teacher in high school, about Impressionist art. Ooh. And The Little Prince. So there will be my shout out to another teacher. But I was thinking, like, I feel like Impressionist art and The Little Prince are both more useful in society. The one I decide the kids should know about is the Triangle Shirtwaist.
Hey, listen.
So it wasn't me like being, I'm amazing, although I am.
Yeah, you are. Also true. And I tease because I love.
Madame Guillet is also amazing. And I can tell the difference between, Berthe Morisot and someone else. Mary Cassatt.
Yay.
Because of her.
Because of my sister, who's an infectious disease doctor, I know a lot of random things about disease and the flu and, you know, antibiotics and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what is going on.
I'm sorry. I think Scott was zipping up his pants while you were saying that. So it's here you're talking about infectious diseases. And Scott's leaning back on the couch being like, hey.
Hey, I'm ready to give you something, baby.
Playing with my zipper.
I am very absent-minded often. When in the bathroom, I get so excited about washing my hands, I guess, that I forget to zip up. Often.
And just the look on your face while you were doing
like,
it.
Oh, I forgot. I've been sitting here podcasting with my fly open all day.
Well, and you know what?
It was
Sunday.
Poor timing.
Cheers to Sunday.
It's comfy day. I'm going to unzip it.
My sister would say, super important to wash your hands after you use the bathroom. So more important you wash your hands than zip.
I'm sorry.
I hope this is heard.
Oh, dear Lord.
I'm up now. It's zipped up.
But no, that's my thing, is that it's so... People will talk about random things about the pneumonia and the flu, and especially pulmonary diseases, because that's one of her big focuses. And I just, because I lived with her for 2 years, and I would just hear things, so much of what she was talking about, she would give me, do presentations for me to practice them.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, I know so much about Legionella disease. I know so much, or Legionnaire's disease caused by Legionella, sorry. It's just
I know so
things.
Much about it that I don't know what that's
called. Well, when I was living upstate, I lived in a house full of anthropologists. And they were all grad students at Binghamton University at the time. And we would have so many nights. We would get together for, like, Jane Austen movie night.
Nice.
And it would turn into a discussion about, like, obscure STDs from that time period. And, you know, I would go to people's dissertation presentations and learn whatever they were talking about. And I love it because I have this random knowledge that I would not have come across any other way except that I happened to live with a couple people that happened to all be in the same program.
I dated an architecture student my first summer in New York of grad school. And so I know a lot about random ass buildings in New York.
I love that.
Because of him.
Well, you should take me on a tour sometime.
I love that too.
Mm. I will. Mm. You know what? I'm going to have him do it. So.
Oh, you still have
him? Oh, yeah, him.
Oh, okay, great.
Nice, perfect. Lovely. All right, well, that has been our non-trivial look at trivia. It's jarring, but it's never trivial. And thank you so much. We got such a great array. I feel like we got a really great range of questions and topics and thoughts and random bits of trivia.
You're the best, everyone.
You
listening.
Are. We thank you so much, Giants.
Give yourself a hug.
Pat on the back, perhaps.
A man hug with the patting on the back.
Hey-o. Mm-hmm.
It just depends on how comfortable you are with hugging yourself. So, you know, thank you. And as always, you can...
You know, give your thigh a little squeeze, everyone. Give your thigh a little squeeze.
Okay. All right, now that he's zipped up in front of me, I feel more uncomfortable with this manner of conversation. But
at least I zipped up in front
you
of
you. You did. This
well,
is true.
I did go down to get up.
Ooh, well, hey-o. That's what she said.
Amy's mom.
It all comes back to that, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for contributing as always. And you can find us on Podomatic, but more importantly, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, which means it will download right to your iTunes whenever a new episode is posted.
We'll just show up on your phone.
We will. Hey. We will. We
without like having to call you.
I'll show up on your doorstep. We can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Jarring Segway. And just please keep going out there and learning random facts, because that's what life is about, really. It's not about family. It's not about love. It's about the random shit you know that can win you free shots at pub trivia.
Word. I'm Scott Austin.
I'm Amy Walensky.
I'm Beth Hicks. Thanks so much.
Peace the fuck out, bitch. England's got a new queen.